Today's reading is from Exodus 3, 11 to 15. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' And they ask me, 'What is his name? And then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation.' This is the word of the Lord."
Thank you for reading the scripture. Thank you, the worship team, for leading us in worship. It's good to be back. My family and I, we were on a two-week vacation. And later on, I will tell you a bit more of our very unique experience. This morning, we are going to study on the names of God again. And today, we are doing the relational Jehovah God. And just now, when James picked that song, Yahweh, I just gave him the title, a bit of what we are going to what the sermon is about, and he just picked the very right song. And the Lord is, you know, kudos. The Lord is coordinating every element of this worship service. Let's pray before I start. Lord, we come before you this morning, and this is a day where we want to set apart to come into your house, to hear your voice. Already your presence is with us wherever we go, but yet we choose every week of the day, once a week of the day, to come into your presence, into your house, to listen to your voice, to hear your word, so that we can be charged, we can go out into the world to be your witness. And Father, I just pray this morning, help me to speak what you want me to speak, the message that is already being prepared. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I see this whole section a bit missing, right? Because the teens are at the teens camp, and they have about 50 of them, plus counselors and all that. So it's like this section is very empty. One time, a little boy was drawing a picture, and he was drawing a picture of God. And when asked by the teacher, "What are you drawing?" he said, "I'm drawing a picture of God." The teacher said to him, "You cannot draw a picture of God. Nobody knows. No one knows how God looks like." And the boy replied, "They will when I get done." If I were to hand each of you a piece of paper and ask you to draw what or how God looks like, all of us will have a very different image of how God looks like. Because how we perceive God, we will draw God as how we perceive him. Let's say you perceive God to be a heavenly father. So you will draw him like a picture of a father, a heavenly father figure. If you perceive God as a warrior, you will draw him as a person riding on a horse or with a charging, with a sword and all that. So we will, what we perceive God to look like, we will draw him. But what we know of God is how he revealed to us. Because God never allows us to draw an image or present an image of him. Nothing in all of creation is anything is a close resemblance of him. Our finite mind cannot conceive the infinite God. Now, recently we have begun the study of the names of God, and that's an excellent way to discover who God is. Pastor Sam started us with Elohim, the great creator God. And Pastor Bert, we were not here. I was not here. But he did El Shaddai, Almighty God. Today, we are going to go into the most referred name of God. And it's found in the Bible 6,500 times, 6,500 times. And this name is the name Jehovah. It's found mostly in the Old Testament. But to understand this name, we have to look at the beginning of when God revealed himself as Jehovah. And just now, Howard read to us Exodus chapter 3. And Exodus chapter 3 is when Moses was out taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. And when he went to the different part of the desert, and he saw this bush that was burning, yet it was not consumed. It's a very strange sight. It's usually you see a probably burnt bush in the desert because as the leaf brush itself against and it's dry and it can caught a fire. But at this site, it was burning, but yet it was not consumed. So Moses went to have a second look. And this is kind of a picture of how it looks like. This bush was burning, and yet it was not consumed. And Moses went to have a second look. And when he looked, God called up to him. And it was the presence of God. God told him to remove his shoe. And God also assigned Moses to go back to Egypt to bring the people of Israel out of slavery, out of Egypt. But Moses' response was, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelite out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And Moses said to him, to God, suppose the people of Israel ask me, what is your name? And God said, tell them I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelite, I am has sent you, and that will be my name forever. God, in this passage, revealed for the first time his name, I am. God didn't say his name was Jehovah when he first introduced his name. It was rather, I am. And some commentator, Bible commentators say, I am is equivalent to I will be or I was being. But what does that mean? Does it mean I am something, or what does it mean I will be? It's actually equivalent to Revelation chapter 1 verse 8. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, who is, who was, and is to come. It's equivalent to actually someone who is self-existing, who causes things to exist. So I am, it's not just I am something, but it's I am everything. I am the self-existing one. Now, you ask me, isn't it the same as Elohim, the creator God? So could I am be equivalent to Elohim? It is not. Elohim, according to many Canaanite, when Israel were living in the Canaanite city, Elohim, one of the gods of the pagan gods, their name is also El. El. El is actually the father of Baal. And he is kind of the creator god. But God, the God that we worship, is Elohim. And Elohim means the God of all gods. All God roll into one. He is the one creator God. So when God called himself Elohim, he's not just a God. He is the God who created everything. So in this passage, when God says he is the I am, he's not just saying he is the creator God. He is also saying, I am a personal God. I am Israel's God. I am a God who make covenants. Because at the end of Exodus chapter 3, he said, I am who I am. And then he said, tell the Israelites, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I've made the covenant. So he's not just a creator God, the creator God, but he is also a God, a personal God, a God who made covenant. Now, this name has occurred more than 6,500 times in the Old Testament. However, when God revealed his name, the Israelites were very concerned about blaspheming his name, putting his name in vain or mispronouncing his name. The self-existing one is so sacred that the Jews dare not mention his name for fear that they will misuse his name. So they came out with creative idea. They came out with the four-letter word, YHWH. It's called a tetragrammaton. Tetra meaning four consonants, and grammaton means four letters. So they came up with YHWH. And it's non-pronounceable because there's no vowel in it. Now, to tell you a real joke, my two brothers, my father gave us all Chinese names, and one of my brother, his name was Wei, O-O-I, Chuan Wei. And it's spelled O-O-I, and it's all vowel. And my second brother, his name is I-A-U. It's again all vowel. And people find it difficult to pronounce his name. But my elder brother, O-O-I, Wei, when he first came to Canada, he spelled his name O-O-I, but he wrote it in capital letter. And his teacher said to him, 001, are you related to 007, James Bond? So that is a joke. Really, it happened to him. But it's names given. So during the intertestament period, rather than saying YHWH, when they come to the name Yahweh, to the name I Am, the self-existing one, they would say Elohim instead, because that is God. So, but that doesn't solve the problem with the differentiation between Elohim and I Am. That didn't solve the problem at all. So when it comes to his name, at one time, they don't say his name. So they read and said. So they refuse to say his name, just in case they misrepresent his name or they misuse God's name. So they stop saying his name altogether. But that didn't solve the problem. So instead of saying Elohim, instead of not saying his name, they begin to maybe say Lord, and in the Hebrew is Adonai. And to remind the people that they are saying Yahweh instead of Adonai, they begin to say, maybe we should put in some vowel into some consonants into this letter that we have. So they begin to put the vowel like A and E. And it could be Yahweh, as you pronounce it today, we sang the song. Or it could also be Yahweh, because how many syllables should we put in? How many vowels should we put in? Should we put in two? Should we put in three? And this Yahweh is a German pronunciation of the Latinized translation. And eventually, it became Jehovah, because in Hebrew, Y is pronounced J, we pronounce it as Jesus, but they pronounce it as Yasus. So we pronounce it as J, so Jehovah. But in the Jewish culture, is Yahweh. So actually, Jehovah, it's an artificial translation of the word Yahweh, bearing the name of God. And today in the Bible, we don't put Jehovah, we put L-O-D. R-D, all capital. And that Lord is actually I Am, the great I Am. It comes through all the season of silence, Adonai, Yahweh, Jehovah, all through the Bible. Today we see it as Lord. But when you read Lord, all caps, all capital, it's actually, we are actually reading the great I Am. Now, God has always been known as Elohim, but that is his generic name because it could mean God, any God. But God, because God wants a relationship with his people, he gives us a permission to call him by his personal name, which is I Am Who I Am. It's like giving a permission to call Bill, Pastor Bill, but his actual name is William. And one time I received a wedding invitation from Pastor Bill, and it says William. I didn't know who it was because we always call him Pastor Bill and Bill. But William is his actual name. Now, in another passage, Exodus chapter 6, verse 2 to 3, God told Moses, I am the Lord, see all cap, I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob as God Almighty, El Shaddai, but by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. Now, when God said that, prior to Exodus chapter 6, Jehovah God, the great I Am, has appeared many times in the Old Testament. But each time when it appears, like you see in Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, this is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the heavens and the earth. Now, no shrubs had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung out, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. If you continue to read in Genesis, most of the time you'll see the Lord God, and it comes together. So God is known as the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim. It's kind of combined together. So why did God say in Exodus chapter 6, by my name Jehovah, Lord, has I not been made known to them? Bible commentators have it in these two ways. It can be understood in two ways. Some people argue that because Moses, he was the writer of or the first five books of the Bible, he put in Lord next to God. He put in Yahweh, Jehovah, the great I Am, next to God, the Elohim, because he wants the people to know that this is the same God that we worship. It's not a different God. If somehow at the end of the Old Testament, Lord begins to appear and not next to God, we are worshiping a different God. He wants us to know that we are worshiping the same God. And the second explanation is, some scholars argue that maybe when God revealed himself as the Lord God, some people do not know him in his character yet. The self-existing one has not revealed his character yet. So by revealing his name in Exodus chapter 3 to Moses, the great I Am, the people are beginning to know his character. Most of you know me as my name, Ruth. I do not use my Chinese name here because people could not pronounce my Chinese name. But if I reveal my brother's name and my own Chinese name to you, you will actually get to know my family heritage. Now, my father, he's very good in Chinese, so he gave us all Chinese names that define who God is. So just now, when I said to you my brother's name, Chuan Wei, in Chinese, it's actually Chuan Wei, God's perfect glory. And my brother's name, Chuan Yao, it's actually God's perfect comfort. And my name, Biao Ai, in Chinese, Qi Miao De Ai, God's perfect love. You see, by revealing my name to you just here, you're beginning to understand my family heritage. I have a history of godly people, my grandparents, my father. And by revealing my name to you, you're beginning to know not so much my character, but my godly character, my godly heritage. So when God revealed his name, we know his character. But we human, we are given names and we try to live up to that name that our parents give to us. But as for God, when he revealed his name, he's revealing his already existing character. Now, if Elohim is God's creative and powerful name, Yahweh or Jehovah or Lord, which we call him now, is God's personal name. Elohim is the side of God that who creates the heaven and the earth. Jehovah is the side of God who relates to his creation personally. The next thing I'm going to say is, it's kind of, because we can believe in Elohim without knowing Jehovah. A lot of people believe in Elohim, God. But to know him as Lord is another thing. One of the characters of Elohim, or one of the character of Jehovah or Yahweh is I Am. He is a person. We don't live with an impersonal evolutionistic universe. God is not a force. He doesn't watch from a distance, but he is very, very involved with his creation. And he has emotions, he has intellect, his will, and he is very, very engaged. Since God is self-existing one, he is also self-sufficient. He is the great eternal one. He is self-generating, immutable, that means he doesn't change. God can never become irrelevant because he is the great I am. He is not I was, but he is I am. He is always current. A million years from today, God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. If we are to know this God who is, we have to let him define himself. He is not I am who you say I am. He is I am who I am. He defines himself. We do not define him. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 5, it says, "The serpent was more crafty than all the any wild animals that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman," so this serpent said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree of the garden?" And the woman said, "Yeah, we may eat fruits from all the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Now, in this passage, we are going back to the original where God revealed himself, but the people didn't know yet. But Moses put it as the Lord God, Elohim Jehovah, Elohim and the personal God. But notice, when serpent said to the woman, did God really say? Serpent intentionally removed the Lord God said. Did the Lord God said. By removing Jehovah, by removing the personal God, Satan sought to deceive Eve by hiding God's personal nature and the personal impact of the action he was trying to get her to do. Satan was trying to get Eve to think of God as a position. God, the Almighty One, the Creator One. But he is not in a relationship with you. If I say to my children, my husband is George, right? So if I say to my children, "Did George Tan said this to you?" They'll probably be, "Oh, I don't care." But if I said, "Did your father said this to you?" Can you see the difference? If I say your father, then that is a relationship. But if I mention George, the father, as his name, there's no relationship. And notice the Eve, her reply to Satan. She also took up Lord God. She neglected to call God as Jehovah God. Instead, she just referred him to God, as Elohim. Satan do not mind if Adam and Eve call God, the great creator God. Such a God is distant. But when Jehovah is introduced, God becomes personal, becomes intimately involved. Satan is always okay with us acknowledging God, but not in a personal way where God is kind, loving, and also setting boundaries and in authority over us. The devil does not mind us having some bits of religion. He does not care if we come to church and know him as Elohim, as long as we do not bring in the Lordship. The moment we call him Lord, that is a different level. It's easy to twist God's word when we know him as God, like Eve did. He said, "Oh, God said you shall not touch." But God didn't say you must not touch. God said you must not eat. It is more difficult when God becomes Lord because he is intimately involved, caring for us, guiding us, bringing authority over us as master, Lord, King, friend, all the intimate relationship with us. Now, recently I went to my hairdresser, and she lives in Richmond. And she works from home, so I like it. And she has been my hairdresser for many years. And I know her as a Christian. We used to talk about Christian stuff and, you know, which church should go to. However, during the recent worship, recent visit, I saw that she has this magazine called Meditation and Health on her desk. And I know this is not good, right? So I was puzzled and I asked her why she is leaving all this magazine, a whole stack of them on for people, all her clients to read. And she said, I took them because they are free. But after some probing and some conversations, she began to reveal that she's been going to those retreats and listening to the teaching. Now, Meditation and Health is founded by Master Jin Bohi, and he's a Taoist kind of a Tibetan believe in yoga and meditation and all that. But so I took one of the magazine and read it, and I found testimonies of a lot of people receiving healing, finding peace and more harmony in the family. But not, they are without Elohim. They are self-meditation, finding peace within themselves. So this is not salvation. This is just self-effort. But I was puzzled why my hairdresser didn't find that in God. So I asked her, how is your relationship with God? Do you believe Jesus is God? And she said, yes. She believes Jesus is God's son. She says she still goes to church. But then she mentioned, I must not have been a good Christian. My conclusion, I'm not trying to judge her here, but my conclusion is she doesn't know God personally. She knows God as Elohim. She knows God as God, definitely, but she doesn't have a personal relationship with God. There's no personal touch where she finds God, Jesus is enough, where she did not have to go elsewhere to look for. And recently, I also had a conversation with someone, and he was telling me, he has been to church all his life, grew up in church, and even served and have many friends in church, but there, God didn't touch his heart. He said all along, God was at a distance until when he turned 38. Then God touched, got a hold of his life, and then his life was transformed. And many of us sitting in church, sometimes we could have that. We know God as Elohim, but not as Jehovah, as the great I am, as the personal God. Now, just now I told you why we went to Hawaii for our recent vacation, and we went to Maui, and we stayed at Lahaina, up there, right? And then on Thursday, there was a hurricane. They were coming, sweeping across Hawaii, because it's on in the Pacific Ocean, and Hurricane Lane, it's called Lane, it came with strong wind and rain. But the thing is, when we stay at Lahaina, we have kind of a mountain behind our backyard, and we have a bushfire and a power outage, and we had to evacuate at 3 a.m. on Friday morning. And I was wondering, did I make the right choice? Because I tried booking at Kihei, which is on this side, Kihei, K-I-H-A-I, twice. I tried booking with Airbnb and then later with VRBO. Two attempts and it failed. So I tried again and Lahaina was vacant, so I took that. And the only place that had the fire and the power outage was Lahaina. It's like, how bad luck or something. But then on Sunday, last Sunday, as we were at church, the pastor, he was talking about the storms of life. And suddenly, God spoke to me, you are the right place. You are the right place. We need sometimes to experience a storm of life to see God as God, the great I am. Because the next few days as we drove by Lahaina, we saw the devastation of fire. The fire was this part of the town and it crossed the the road and went to this part of the town. But right in the center of the fire was a house. And the fire was all around the house, and the fire stood still, like not burned at all. And where we are, there was a highway, and the fire got up to the highway, and then the houses on this side, and the fire never spread. And I said, God, how wonderful, how great you are. Because on Thursday night before the hurricane came, we were actually worshiping him in our rented place, and we were asking God for his mercy to protect the people in Hawaii. And we were worshiping him for who he is. And the wind was very strong, and we were praying very loud. And then we saw the hand of God. And sometimes we said, the inconvenience. We have to pay more to relocate. We actually went and rented another place. But God is not interested in our comfort. He is more interested in our character. God will allow us to be in situation or encounter problem, sometimes with no possible solution. This is so that we can discover that he is with us. He is the great I am. He is the solution. And he will sometimes allow us to hit bottom so that we know that he is the rock at the bottom of our lives. He will allow us to go through hard places, situations that seem confusing, chaotic, and pain, to know that he is with us. Now, the Bible is one continuous thought. And in Jesus, we see that he is the I am. In John chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus said, "Very, very truly I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am." He's not saying, "I am something." He's actually professing. He is the self-existing one. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and Omega. That's why when the religious leaders heard it, they were about to stone him, because Jesus also claimed, where God spoke to Moses, "I am," Jesus saying, "I am." It's a one continuous thought. And Jesus is not just the great I am. Jesus claimed, "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the Omega, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the gate. I am the vine. I am the bright morning star." Just these two words, "I am," bears so much, because in it contains everything. I am the self-existing one. I am the one who is with us. And James brought that, gave us that song. He is with us too, right? God is with us. Are you lacking in anything in your life? Are you going through a very difficult position right now, in situation in your life? Or when you come to his name, are you not able to pronounce his name for fear of misrepresenting his name? God says, "Okay, I am with you." And sometimes we are afraid. We are afraid to call ourselves Christian because we might not be a Christian in front of people. So we stop saying we are Christian. And that is silence. But God says, "No, I am with you. I will be with you." At the burning bush, Moses had an introduction to God. And some of us are in that category. We are forgiven, we know we are saved, but we are stagnant in our walk. We're just going through the motion. We come to church, we pay our dues, but we are not encountering God. God will come as intimately close to us if we intentionally let him in. We can experience all that God is. We do not have to seek anywhere else. Jesus is the great I am. Sometimes praying that prayer, "Will you, God, I want to know more of you," it may create more problems sometimes. And I did. Before the vacation, I actually prayed, "God, we want to draw closer to you as a family." And that's why we went to Lahaina instead of Kahei. Yes, I thought of it. God, I did pray. And God causes us to see the storm and the fire, the power outage. But then we were able to witness to our neighbors because we stayed in kind of an Airbnb. And when they said, we were so lucky, the fire didn't come to us. And I said, we prayed. And a lot of people in this church have been praying for us. But sometimes God allows us to go through. And it's not a bad thing. The peace of God will be with us. Moses had a burning bush experience. He heard God speak. He saw God demonstrated his power because he brought the people out of Egypt. He saw the 10 plagues. He saw the power of God. And he saw the Red Sea parted. He saw the power of God. And they built a tent. And Moses entered the tent and he saw God's presence. When he came out, his face glowed and he had to put a kind of veil on his face. But that was not enough. Moses said to God, I want to see you face to face. Moses heard God's voice. He encountered God's power. He entered God's presence. But yet, Moses said to God, I want to see you, your face. And God said, no, it's impossible. If you see my face, you will die. But God said, I will grant you your request. I'm going to walk by and hide you at a rock. And when I walk by, I will put my hands on your face. And after I walk by, I will lift up my hands. At the cleft of the rock, you will see my back. And Moses saw God's back. What is enough for us? Do we want just to hear his voice? Every Sunday we come here to hear his voice. Yes, we hear his voice through the passage, through the preaching, and through the radio ministry, through literature, to all the internet and all that. We can hear his voice and we can see his power perform and all the miracles that we see around us. But is that enough? Do we want more? Do we want to see him, encounter him personally? Because God is a personal God. He will get as close to us as we allow him, as much as we allow him. After Moses' experience with God, Moses picked up his pen, his parchment, and he wrote the first five books. He wrote, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We cannot live off somebody else's faith. Sometimes we come to church and we ask people to pray for us. That is great. But we need to personally encounter him. Because God said to Moses, say to the people of Israel, I am who I am. I am the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. He is a personal God. And when we read Lord, all cap in the Bible, it means he is the great I am. How do we have that personal relationship with him? We need to spend time with him. And this God of the Bible is the only God that wants to spend time with us. All the other religion, they're not gods, but it's more of they pray for blessing, they pray for fortune, they pray for this and that, but none of them want to have a relationship with their God. I'm glad I have this God, the great I am, the Elohim, Jehovah, Yahweh. He has a personal relationship with me. And it's through a lot of problems in my life, a lot of setbacks, encountering closed doors, that I begin to hear him, encounter him, see him, and touch him. I pray that you will too experience this God. I'd like to invite the worship team to come up.
I invite you guys to stand.